Louis DiBiase.
Wentz, man 5 and 1, spins away, under pressure, still on his feet. Now he fires downfield, and it's caught by Nelson Aguilar for an Eagles touchdown.
Geno Camilleri.
Going for it all into the end zone, and it is caught. Alshon Jeffrey for the touchdown.
You are listening to the Locked On Eagles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of the Locked On Eagles podcast, available as always on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show. Today is October 23rd. We are talking birds, and more birds, and there's a lot of chaos going on right now. Gino, what's up, man?
Not
How you
much,
feeling?
Man.
We haven't talked since the Panthers game.
My brain is in about 300 different places at the moment. I'm ready to zip open the suitcase and just
there's
let
so
this
many
chamber
conflicted
of
emotions
secrets out.
There's excitement because the NFL trade deadline's coming up, and the Eagles are apparently like there's buzz around the NFL that the Eagles are going to be one of the most aggressive teams to buy, and I'm seeing a lot of selling. And the season's over, and a lot of takes on Twitter. Eagles Twitter this week is on fire.
It's mayhem.
The Eagles media has lit a fire under it. The team has started all of it, but the media, some of the takes I'm seeing today, the topic of conversation, it's crazy. When you're 3-4 like this and you had the expectations you had, it's crazy how, I mean, the Super Bowl did not calm down anybody, clearly. So, I mean, that's the one thing we're learning is that I remember telling myself during the Super Bowl, it doesn't matter what they do. Like, after this, like, just give me this, and you can be terrible for 10 years. And now, watching games like that Sunday game against the Panthers, ripping my heart out, and it's, what, the fourth time they've done it this year? It's not true. I'm satisfied with the Super Bowl, and it makes things easier, but it's not just something I can discard.
I've been so heavily invested in this team since 2001 that
right.
it just doesn't get easier. And
no,
now
you always want this team to win, no matter what. Like, you always want more with this. I even said, man, it's got to be lame for the Patriots. You basically have a two-game season, right? You just care about the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl.
Basically.
But now this year, I'm like, I don't want it to be chaotic. I need wins. But coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about a lot of things to get into. There's the whole Wentz clutch narrative that we got to get into. The NFL trade deadline, again, is next Tuesday. And the Eagles, they're going to be aggressive. We're seeing rumors about Patrick Peterson. Could they still be in on a running back, maybe wide receivers? They talked with Denver about Emmanuel Sanders this week. So NFL trade deadline, we're going to get into that as well. And, you know, the who's to blame card, we're still going to continue that. We're only 2 days removed from one of the bigger collapses the Eagles have had in a long time, really. And it's happened a couple times this year already, including that Tennessee game. But Sunday really was the top one. That's the score to beat right now for Eagle collapses. So, you know what game it honestly reminded me of, and I don't know why, but it was the Redeem Team year against the Detroit Lions when they were 3-2 with Michael Vick, and they took a lead late in that fourth quarter with that big Jeremy Maclin touchdown, and they blew that game. And they got down, I think it was like they were 3-3 at that point, or 3-4. They were similar to where they are at now. And then it just spiraled out of control. They lost 9 straight games. And that was a year they had expectations. I'm not saying that's the route it took, but watching that fourth quarter against Carolina, that was the feeling I was getting the entire time.
I got to say, this is probably the hardest loss outside of that Tennessee loss that plain out sucked.
Like, when was the last time a loss like was this hard for you to get over? Because I haven't had this hard a time even this year. Like, I've had an easier time getting over some of these tougher losses than I expected. But Sunday, because you really thought, like, you know, you texted me when Dallas got to score that touchdown, you're like, we're back. And that's what it felt like. We're back. I feel better about it because of how good Carson Wentz was. And then the 2018 Eagles reappeared. What's the last time you can think that a game just ripped your heart out like this?
I think it's the Dallas game in 2016 when we were just middling. We were middle of the road.
The OT loss in Dallas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dallas was the hottest team in the NFL at that point. They were on fire. And I was like, okay, if we need to get on track, we have to do it in Dallas. Like, this
and that
the
you
game
would have got
was
back in control of the East. I mean, you had beat Minnesota.
Correct.
And you could have got to, what, 5 wins at that point? You would have been right there with Dallas, and then Dallas just took off after that.
Yeah, that game was so disheartening because they had the lead. They were commanding all game.
Yep.
Then they have a fake punt. They take that fake punt for 15 yards, get a first down. Wendell Smallwood fumbles in the fourth quarter. Yikes. That was super disheartening. Goes to overtime. Jason Witten, still believe it's pass interference, pushes off and scores a touchdown. But, yeah, thinking back, that was the biggest one. But this game, I really am just at a loss for words. And one sentiment that has to be discussed is that they didn't do this to the Buffalo Bills and Derek Anderson. They didn't do this to the Cleveland Browns and a rookie Baker Mayfield. They didn't do this to C.J. Beathard and the San Francisco 49ers. They did this against Cam Newton, who was the NFL MVP just 2 years ago.
Which people forget. People like to rat
on
Cam
Newton. He's great
in
the fourth quarter.
He's always
been good
in the
fourth quarter. He went to a Super Bowl, and he's been in the playoffs countless times. This is what he was meant to do.
Well, right, and that's why the win would have been so much better, because we took him out. They, for three quarters, had no answers. The defensive line was getting there. Even with Dexter McDougal playing in the slot, which I'll get into in a bit, the defense was still dominating for three quarters. And you're like, it wasn't just so last week. We were talking about it, and it was a great win against the Giants on Thursday night. It was the first game we really just beat a team down. We just handled a team with ease, which is what we did all last year, really. We only had a couple close wins, the Rams game, the Giants game, the Redskins game week one. Week one's really always close. But that's what was different about this game compared to the Giants one, is though we were dominating a team that I thought was going to be really good in the NFC, and they are. They're one of the contenders in the NFC right now.
Finding ways to get wins.
They're one of the top teams in the NFC right now, and that's why it was like, man, we're up 17 on this team. We are taking it to them. We're back. And that's why it's so aggravating too to get over this win, because it was against a team in Carolina that, like, you're going to need that win maybe in the wild card race if you're not going to, although I still think the Eagles are the should be the favorite to win the division. That's against a conference opponent that you might see again down the road. I hope they do. I want another chance at that. I want another shot at that. But Gino, this is the thing that I've been seeing a lot this week, is the blame game. And I did it myself. I threw out there, I spewed 700 words on LockedOnEagles.com immediately after the game, finding blame, threw Jim Schwartz under the bus, Doug Peterson. I even put Carson Wentz in there because of that last drive. The fresh, or the what they think is the fresh, hot, unique take, is blaming the offense instead of the defense. And it's kind of getting to me this week that people are just pushing this and pushing this and pushing this. I understand that the offense is terrible, but people are trying to use basic stats. Like, the Eagles are, what, sixth in points allowed so far this year, and there's a lot of good stats that are in the Eagles' defense favor, whereas on the Eagles' offense, yeah, they're 22nd in scoring, and people like to throw out these broad stats and not look in-depth enough in it, and I think it's irresponsible because the defense should not get a pass. Should the offense? No. But the offense has had to overcome things like Nick Foles playing quarterback the first 2 weeks, Kamar Aiken and DeAndre Carter getting the majority of the snaps at wide receiver for 2 weeks. The offensive line hasn't been as good. You know, the run game lost Jay Ajayi. They don't have LeGarrette Blount anymore. Darren Sproles played the first week, and he hasn't been able to get back. You agree with me before the show, Corey Clement doesn't really look the same, right?
He's broken.
So the offense has had to overcome a lot, and so has the defense. I mean, they lost Rodney McLeod, and they just lost Derek Barnett today, is out for the season, if you hadn't heard, with a torn rotator cuff in his shoulder.
Correct.
The Alshon Jeffrey injury, which, again, is super impressive that he played all last year with that injury.
It's a lot
injury.
Different when you're defensive.
Right, it's a completely different when you shoulders are exactly. Yeah. Some of the wide moves you're using with your hands when you're a defensive end and your shoulder, it's a big loss for Derek Barnett. But don't come to me with these basic stats and give the defense a pass. This defense continues to turtle late in games. Did the offense in the fourth quarter? Definitely. But the blame game, it should go all around this team right now. No one should get off easy in it. The defense, the fourth quarter, I understand 17 points. Jason Kelce said it today. 17 points isn't enough to win a ball game. But when you're up 17 points, regardless, don't even think of do they only have 17 points. You were up by 17, so three scores in the fourth quarter, with how your defense was playing, and you lose 21-17, that's inexcusable. This team is way too easy to drive on in the fourth quarter. Every single game, even the ones they won, the Falcons game, the Colts game, it is too easy. The Falcons game in the playoffs last year, the Patriots game in the Super Bowl, This team is too easy to drive on, and right now they're not playing like the elite red zone defense that they were early on in the season, where they stopped. It didn't matter how many yards Atlanta got, you were not getting in the end zone. Same with the Colts game. They are allowing touchdowns right now. The Panthers scored three unanswered touchdowns, and the Eagles were unable to stop them in the red zone. So don't just give me this is all in the offense. Don't give me basic stats. The defense is to blame for this too. There's the Jim Schwartz, the formation changes where, like, you know, with like 14 minutes left, they were playing like it was the Vikings game where the Eagles are down 9 and they're driving down, but there's only a minute 30. So the Vikings are like, yeah, sure, here, have this 20-yard reception or have this 10-yard reception.
A minute and a half
matter.
Left.
Right,
it makes
and you're
sense.
Up by basically two scores. You have to would have had to have an onside kick. The Eagles were playing like that with an entire quarter left, and I even tweeted it out when the Panthers scored the first time to make it 17-6. I was saying, this Eagles team is playing not to lose. They're playing like there's 30 seconds left in the game. They're playing like a hockey team that has their only strength is goaltending, so they score one goal in the second period and they just play back the entire time, mm-hmm. like prevent. That's what it was. They were preventing themselves from really winning the game by playing like that.
All right. Now begins the rant I've been waiting for the past
Fire
two
away.
Days. Carson Wentz deserves 0.00000% of the blame on this game. He threw 15 straight interceptions with an 81.1% completion rating to Alshon Jeffrey and Zach Ertz without a field-stretching wide receiver, without a legitimate number one running back. He carried that team. He did everything an MVP was supposed to do. What did you want him to do? Complete 90% of his passes against a solid Carolina team? Did you want them to run against Kawan Short and Dontari Poe, who are basically half a ton of man in the middle of the field? Did you want them to expose Luke Kuechly, who's the best linebacker in football? What more did you want them to do? Yes, they didn't finish on all of their drives, but that's understandable. In the third quarter, they had a 10-minute drive, which is literally all you can ask for at that point in the game. You are up three scores and just killed basically the entire third quarter. Now, the blame I'm putting on Doug, because the fault in this game all around was being too conservative. Doug.
Right, we talked about the defense. It was Peterson, too.
It was Doug as well. Yes, I will put that on him. He needs to call more runs, but when you can't rely on Corey Clement,
right? Do you
because
blame?
He's
like
broken.
I don't blame him for not running really the football in the fourth quarter. It was the passing plays they were calling looked like 2016 concepts, where the screen game it was working in the first couple quarters, but not in the second half. The Panthers were coming in on those. They were playing. It was just you could tell. It wasn't even just the play calls in general. It was just they were playing timid. You could just tell that they were playing not to lose. All three sides were playing like they were scared.
At the end of the first half, they had three timeouts. They had a minute and a half to go, and they didn't even try to move the ball down the field. That's playing not to lose. They get into the fourth quarter. They barely run the football. That's playing not to lose. Let's flip to the other side of the field. Lou mentioned it. There's 10 minutes left in the game, and you are playing prevent defense when you have completely eroded Carolina's offense by playing solid jam defense with your corners. Your four up front were getting there. You can't rely on them to get there for four straight quarters. You have to say, okay, cornerbacks, you've been making plays all day. Make another play. Like, you're going to have to. That front four can only carry you so far. Yes, they're sixth in points allowed. That's a stupid statistic because those stats don't have heartbeats.
And it's not the topic of what we're talking about. We're not saying the defense hasn't played good this year. We're talking about their collapses in the fourth quarter.
That's when it matters.
That's what doesn't show up in that stat. It's too broad of a stat to defend the defense with.
I want everybody to take 3 minutes out of their day and listen to Michael Kay, who's the play-by-play announcer of the New York Yankees, talk about analytics and how analytics can only take you so far, and analytics do not have a heartbeat. You cannot take statistics and argue that that defense was the reason that they should have won the game.
You have to watch the film.
You have to watch the film. Jalen Mills slipped on a 4th-and-10 against Torrey Smith. Torrey Smith. Think about him. He's not Devin Funches. We got him off the team because they couldn't afford a cap hit of a player they knew who was getting paid too much money. He has not been an elite or even a great wide receiver since they won the Super Bowl. Jalen Mills, that's on you. Ronald Darby getting beat by a sluggo by Devin Funches, who is...
And then he can't catch up to
Funches.
That's terrible.
Who does not run that fast of straight line speed. That's on you for not watching that film.
But then again, it feels like Darby gets just a pass again this week, because Mills gives up that play. So Darby's again like, yes, like they're going to talk about Mills the entire week.
It's
and that's
unbelievable.
What, like, Darby hasn't got enough hate for it.
I don't want to put the blame solely on the secondary because they weren't coached to play press that late in the game. But, Jim Schwartz, this is on you. I blame this game on you, Jim Schwartz, because you are too hard-headed to understand
that Rasul Douglas,
that you need to take your foot and stomp on the throats of the opposing team.
And that's
conservative
what yeah.
games will never be won yeah. by any team that plays conservative. It has never happened. You have seen it in the past. Doug Peterson said verbatim when he was watching the AFC Championship that the Jaguars were too conservative because they took a knee with 2 minutes left in the first half. Doug Peterson, you did the exact same thing. They called you BBD for a reason last year, so figure it out. This comes from the top down. I don't want to hear any more negative about Carson Wentz. This defense, this secondary needs to figure it out. I don't care if you're depleted. You have your two corners that won the Super Bowl, who, mind you, let up 500 yards in the Super Bowl, so they have not improved since then, continuing to blow games. You have to figure it out. You're putting a square peg into a round hole. Get it together, and you have to do it this week. Cam Newton, I applaud you. You came back, and you took advantage of a defense that was being too conservative. They were giving you the throws. Any offensive coordinator who can see that the Eagles will give up intermediate to short throws and cannot tackle,
well, that's the thing, like,
100 yards came yards after
right.
the carry.
They played in the fourth quarter. They played more press late in the game. But early on in the fourth quarter, they weren't. They were playing off coverage. They were back into a lot of deep cover two, cover three formations.
Late.
And that's the thing. So Fran Duffy posted something on PhiladelphiaEagles.com today watching the film, because a lot of people were talking about the soft coverage and how they did play more man close to the line concepts late in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm more talking about when it was still 17-0.
Exactly.
And you were giving up yards and you started the run by letting the Panthers score that first touchdown. That's, to me, is what was frustrating, is the lapses of judgment with Jim Schwartz. And the big one, too, look, I know everyone knows that I'm a big Rasul Douglas guy, but it's for a reason. And I thought he matched up well with this Carolina Panthers offense. And yet Dexter McDougal, who you get off the streets that week,
why is he on the field?
Ends up playing the majority. He plays
more snaps than Fletcher Cox.
He plays the entire game on defense as your slot corner. And the reason Jim Schwartz gave today in his press conference was, he just came out and said it, he thinks Rasul Douglas is just an outside corner, which, fine, I understand. Maybe you don't think he is a perfect fit at safety. But how much more of a downgrade is he from Avante Maddox at safety right now? Why wouldn't you rather have Douglas and Maddox, your more talented players, on the field? I'd rather have Douglas at safety and Maddox inside than Maddox at safety and McDougal inside. There's a drop-off there where Douglas held his own at safety against the Giants. I thought over top against Odell Beckham a couple times, he made some nice awareness plays. That near amazing interception, you're not getting that with Avante Maddox and Dexter McDougal. You have a better chance of that with Maddox playing more aggressive inside in the slot and Douglas at safety, and yet Douglas got zero snaps. So it's the stubbornness like that to not even consider, which today he said maybe if Sidney Jones would be out longer that he would consider it, but he didn't consider moving Jalen Mills on the inside and Rasul Douglas on the outside with Maddox at safety. Both options would have been a lot better than choosing to go with Dexter McDougal inside, and it's basic things like that that to me would easily improve your defense, that instead you're like, nope, I don't think Rasul Douglas is, I think he's just an outside corner, but so do I only think Jalen Mills is an outside corner, so we're going to put Dexter McDougal inside. And it's stuff like that that is driving me crazy with Jim Schwartz, because you keep seeing randomly, oh, look, he did change it around. They are playing more cover too. They're playing closer to the line. But then he goes back to a lot of his same ways because he's that kind of coach. And Rasul Douglas represents that. The fact that guy cannot get on the field, and why it's starting the hashtag Free Zool movement. Those are the problems, and that's why, look, the offense should get blame, but the defense needs to get blame as well. Injuries have happened. Derek Barnett's now on IR. It's just everything just keeps rolling with this team. It's just been a chaotic, just unlucky, just miserable season so far to start. Even with the wins, it's been a stressful Eagles season so far to start at 3-4. Coming up on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we are going to get into some deadline talk. Should they still be buyers at the deadline? Apparently, Howie Roseman sounds like he's going to be. Me and Gino, we're going to get into that. Talk about the Wentz isn't clutch narrative. That's coming up next. Keep it locked right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Brought to you today by MyBookie. Guys, lay down some cash and win big today. We'd only recommend a service to my listeners and Gino's that's been good to us, and that's why we're urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They got in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. So join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON and visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, and you get paid. MyBookie will match the listener's first deposit 100% up to $1,000. All right, guys, welcome back to Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase, a fiery Gino Camilleri today in studio. I told you
it was coming.
That
I
was
told
the first Gino Camilleri rant I've heard on the Locked On
more.
Eagles podcast, which is entertaining, which is surprising, too, because you weren't wrong with anything you said. It's just funny because, like, we're both the optimists right now, I feel like, on Eagles Twitter.
Agree. I'm never going to get down.
But
saw them win
but,
a Super Bowl,
this is the
Nick
thing,
Foles.
Too, though. There's guys that have to be held accountable. And so I appreciated, I respected the rant. It's just, it's genuine, too, because you are the optimist right now, which is interesting. But there are things that it's those faults, though. The reason that the Eagles are struggling, the things you talked about, the things I talked about in that first segment, it's also why, though, that I feel like this season still has hope. Because it's guys like Jim Schwartz and Jalen Mills and Ronald Darby and Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz, even late in that game. Mental lapses, the offensive line struggling early on in the season. It's a lot of things that were strengths in a Super Bowl win just a year ago that are now not deficiencies, but they've often been liabilities this year, and it's been why they've struggled. It's not a thing of they just don't have the talent anymore. They lost all their talent last year. They don't have the depth. It's not that kind of stuff. It's injuries, and it's a lot of just self-inflicting wounds, and that's why, again, I said it on Twitter, if they don't get this corrected and they go like 7-9 and it's because of this, like in 2016, the yearbook story for the Eagles at the end of the year is going to be 2018, the story of the self-destructive Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, that's what it's going to be. But I think, Gino, they're going to turn it around, and that's why the NFL trade deadline is coming up this Tuesday. I think, well, next Tuesday, October 30th, I still think they're going to be buyers, and what do you want them to be buyers? Because I do. I think they just need to get in the playoffs. Even if they're like the fourth seed and they win the NFC East, I'm not scared of anyone in the NFC right now except for the Rams and the Saints. But even those two teams, I think the Eagles can play with them. I'm not scared of Carolina. I'm not scared of Washington. I'm not scared of Green Bay. I'm not scared of Chicago. I think the Eagles are better than the majority of those teams. They are better to me than Carolina, even though they lost that game. So to me, I want them to be buyers. What about you?
Let me first start by asking you this.
Yeah.
How many games have the Eagles been outplayed this year?
Zero. No, wait. I won't say that.
Tampa Bay. Minnesota, they shot themselves in the foot.
Yep.
Tennessee, shot themselves in the foot. This last game, they shot themselves in the foot. The talent is there. Even with Derek Barnett being out, that defensive line is still top three in the NFL.
It's so tough, though, because Barnett was our best edge rusher so far. Especially against the run, he was ranked 7th.
I agree. I agree 100%. I don't think that is a small thing.
It's very tough.
Let's look at the 2017 Eagles. This is a new season, but let's look at what we lost last year. A Hall of Fame left tackle. A potential Hall of Fame running back. An All-Pro linebacker. An MVP quarterback. Those don't seem like little injuries to overcome. But you know what they did? They put it together. They said, okay, pressure's off. Like Doug Peterson said, we're the underdogs. Let's go prove them wrong. Now, what have they lost? They've lost a good safety. They just lost your first-round pick at defensive end. You have a multitude of other injuries. But you know what? They're 3-4. Who thinks they're favorites right now? Nobody. They're back to their natural habitat of being the underdogs. So, like I said to Lou, you haven't been outplayed. You have the talent. Carson Wentz, as long as he's on the field, I think he's clutch. He's proven it. He clinched the NFC East last year with a torn ACL. He threw a touchdown with a torn ACL. How many quarterbacks have ever done that? Not to mention against the Los Angeles Rams, who are currently the best team in football, who have one of the best defenses, who have the best defensive tackle. People, it is not the end of the world. And, lucky enough, we still have 1 week to make some trades.
Right. And look, it's not every year they're not going to be a they're not going to get a bye every year. I mean,
no,
that's
you
the
can't
thing too.
Expect that.
You the Carolina Panthers are a perfect example of that, right? So the Panthers, they made the playoffs, they got a bye week. They lost to the Niners when the Niners made the NFC Championship game. The next year, they make it at 7-8-1. They still get a playoff win in the wild card round. The next year, I think that was the next year that they weren't very good at all. 2014, they were terrible. And then the next year, they were the number one seed in the NFC and made the Super Bowl. So every year, you're not going to be the one or two seed. Did we expect it with the Eagles this year? Yeah. But now that it's out of the question, it doesn't mean just the season is over. I mean, having home field advantage through the playoffs is key, especially in Philadelphia. But again, if you're the 4 seed or the 5 seed or heck, even the 6 seed, I am confident in this team that they can go up toe-to-toe with anyone in the NFC. It's just they have to figure themselves out right now.
Agreed.
No other team, like you said, has outperformed the Eagles outside of the weird Ryan Fitzpatrick domination for 3 weeks, which was a total anomaly,
like the Chiefs
as always.
We caught
just
them at
typical.
The wrong time.
Right, so we caught a team at the wrong time. And that's why, to me, like, this season isn't over. You have to win this week against Jacksonville. The Redskins are already 4-2. You got to catch them. And you have your division opponents coming up, which are crucial. But to me, at this point now, I mean, Doug Peterson's right. I didn't like how he said it on Sunday, but on Monday when he clarified on WIP,
it made
a lot more sense, where we got to focus more on the division now. And I agree with that, and it's why I want them to be buyers. And, Gino, we talked about, you know, the offense has struggled this year, and it's for a lot of different reasons. But for one, running back personnel right now is not very good. They don't have LeGarrette Blount anymore. They lost Jay Ajayi for the season. Corey Clement, he doesn't look the same. He's been battling injuries all year. He doesn't look as explosive, and it's been pretty apparent. Wendell Smallwood is not a lead back. I mean, it's crazy. He led the team in rushing with 32 yards last week. He has no explosion on the outside, no agility to break tackles. He just doesn't have a lot of playmaking ability. He can hit a hole and get you 6 yards if there's a 6 yard hole, but he's not giving you more. Like, Wendell Smallwood's the guy that really, if you need 3 yards, he'll get you 3 yards. If you need 10 yards, he'll get you 3 yards. I mean, that's really what Wendell Smallwood is at right now. And people are talking about running the football more. You don't have the personnel right now to run the football more. I think people kind of misconstrued what I said on Twitter on Sunday, because I was talking about how on that 3rd and 2 on the last drive, Wentz took 2 shots in the end zone and they didn't run the football. I didn't want them to run the football in that scenario. I wanted, because they ran the football on 2nd down to set up a 3rd and 2, I was more so hoping Wentz was going to take a shorter pass, or consider a shorter pass, to set up 4 more plays in the end zone, and you can continue to be aggressive with 2 timeouts. I didn't blame them for not wanting to use Wendell Smallwood or Corey Clement with that game on the line. I like that Peterson said, I want the ball in Wentz's hands in those situations, because so do I. And we'll get into Wentz's his clutchness next segment, which I'm looking forward to. But running back right now, they don't have that ability. And do I want them to run the football more? Not really. I think it should be a compliment to the passing game more so than a balance. I don't want to be the Bills. You know, I don't want to be that kind of offense. But I want to have the ability to close out a game if they need to, or if they want to, like that Chargers game last year where they're like, we're just going to pound it in your mouth with LeGarrette Blount, or with late in the year with Jay Ajayi. I just want to have that ability to have those closers if we need them. And we don't have that right now. So I know Patrick Peterson is the talk right now. I'm still all in on a running back. I think even they're talking about Emmanuel Sanders, maybe Demaryius Thomas. Who was the guy that brought up Robbie Anderson even with the Jets from Bleacher Report?
Adam Lefko.
Yeah, Lefko. So he brought up Robbie Anderson as a deep threat possibility. I mean, Tampa Bay would have had to maybe lose this week and probably last week to consider moving DeSean Jackson, but even he's got a big cap hit. I'm in on a running back. I'm waiting to see if the Buffalo Bills, who are going to be one of the worst teams in the league this year, right? I mean, Derek Anderson starting there now. I'm waiting to see if the Bills are going to smarten up and say, man, maybe we shouldn't be asking for a second plus for LeSean McCoy. Whereas they should be considering, if the Eagles offer them a third-round pick, they should consider taking that.
Fourth-round
pick. McCoy, yeah. The McCoy is not going to be good when the Bills are ready to be good. That is a 2 to 4 year rebuild, if they're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not turning it around next year unless Josh Allen becomes suddenly some amazing quarterback and they add all this personnel, which really they can't because free agency next year isn't even really that good for skill positions. So I would revisit before Patrick Peterson, which seems like that's the apple of Howie Roseman's eye right now, according to all the rumors. I'm still the guy that's saying, let's call up Buffalo again. Let's call up Pittsburgh again. Just, you have to find, or it doesn't even have to be one of those guys, but a Carlos Hyde type of move. See if the Jaguars, now who just added Carlos Hyde, would consider, not even flipping him, but like TJ Yeldon is a free agent next year. TJ Yeldon's averaging over 4 yards a carry, and he's been really good in the receiving game. You got to get somebody back there. Maybe, I mean, like the Lions, would they consider with how good Kerryon Johnson's been, would they consider giving up LeGarrette Blount? Try to find a way to add to this running back core, because to me, you're underutilizing Nelson Aguilar, and to me, that with Mike Wallace potentially coming back or Matt Collins, receiver, I would like another receiver, a Robbie Anderson type, sure, Emmanuel Sanders, sure, but running back to me is the one to add. I think I want to buy and I want to go for a running back. I'm not going to be mad if they get Patrick Peterson, no, but if we're going to put in legitimate resources into something for this season, it's running back.
Yeah, let's break that down piece by piece there. So to start, the way I would rank the need right now.
Yeah.
I would go running back, then secondary of some sort.
I agree with that.
And then wide receiver.
Defensive tackle, no? Or is there anyone even available for a defensive tackle?
If you could get Kyle Williams, this is one guy that I've heard mentioned. If you could get Kyle Williams, I would take him. You need a run-stuffing guy on first and second down because you run NASCAR on third.
There's no way Sean McDermott gives up that kind of guy for the culture.
But I'm saying, if you could get a guy like that, that's going to cost you a minimal pick. They got 1 year left, older guy trying to win a trophy. Makes a lot of sense. You could get that. I could see that. But if Nada stays healthy, I like what I've seen from Hester and Hector. Like, they did pretty good last game, I'd have to say, for what they are.
Still don't know what's going on with Tim Jernigan.
Don't know what's good. And that's another player that could come back, like you said, with wide receiver.
But there's only so many IR guys. I mean, that's the thing. So,
the two IR guys, I would say.
That's what's hard to evaluate this is because
you don't know
what
they're going
to do. Do we need to address receiver or Hollins or Mike Wallace coming back?
I'm sure.
Or should we address defensive tackle? Is Jernigan coming back? So the deadline moves will probably reflect, too. It'll kind of give you a little tease at who are the guys more likely to come back from IR.
Correct, yeah.
So you went running back, secondary,
wide receiver, and then defensive tackle.
Because, there's just probably not a lot of options in defensive tackle. I'm trying to just think off the top of my head. Kyle Williams is someone that might be available. Who are some other bad teams that might be sellers?
Oakland, San Francisco.
Does Oakland have any interior guys? I don't think so.
San Francisco, look at one of their young guys, maybe an Eric Armstetter, DeForest Buckner. Like, one of those guys has to get paid, and they're not going to pay both of them. And they're both solid, big guys
Armstead
that can
eat
up
space. Armstead
might
be the guy they might be willing more to give up. That's an interesting name.
It's just a thought. I'm just thinking off the top of my head. But like,
would the Giants give us snacks?
I heard that name mentioned as well because I hear Joe Banner says that things are going to heat up, and that was just Jason Lock and Forrest said that it was just the tip of the iceberg for the Giants.
In my head, but it's a rival.
There's so many options there. But let's get to the pressing needs. I'm still confident in that defensive line. I think there's enough depth there.
For at least this year.
And
also, too,
we're going to talk about right now.
Let's
we're not
keep
gonna
an
talk
eye
about
on Josh Sweat. Like, this is a big evaluation time for Josh Sweat, so we're going
to
learn something about him, too, for the next half of the year.
I agree. So, let's move to wide receiver. Like Lou said, you have Mike Wallace, who people are high on to come back this year. They really didn't expect him to even touch the field, but now what people are saying within the building is that there's a chance that he comes back. So, you can either get him or Matt Collins. So, do you really need to go out and get a field-stretching wide receiver to invest in? And then who are you going to bring back if they are healthy, you know? What are you going to do with them? So I think that's the third on the list. Now let's move to the position I think we need, and that's the secondary. Patrick Peterson, folks, is 28 years old. He's made 7 Pro Bowls in the last 7 years. He still has 3 years left on his deal. This year his cap hit is $7 million that we'd have to pay him. Next year I think it's $11 million, and the following year
I think
it's
not a lot of guarantees in it either.
No, the dead cap the next 2 years goes down I think the third year of the dead cap is $600,000. So you can get out from under that deal if you want to. And people, if Patrick Peterson is on the field on 4th and 15 against the Tennessee Titans, does he let up that ball?
Okay.
If he's on the field 4th and 10 against Torrey Smith, does he slip and fall? Does he get beat on a slogo by Devin Funches? Can you have him shadow opposing team's best wide receivers? Abso-freaking-lutely.
If Schwartz would allow that.
If he would allow it. But you know, we're just going to get into the caliber of the player.
Because Jim Schwartz isn't the GM. Howie Roseman's going to add Patrick Peterson whether Schwartz likes it or not.
That is a fact. And that's just how the world works.
So here's my thing with Peterson. I'm never opposed to a team adding a superstar. I will never knock on a team for going after a player like that of his caliber with the Eagle. And it wouldn't just be a this year type of move either. Because yeah, if you're going to give up the compensation people expect that the Cardinals want for Patrick Peterson, he better be here for a long time. My thing with it is that, like you mentioned, secondary. Because I don't think Jalen Mills and Darby have been very up and down this year, more so down than up. But the amount of money that you would have to spend, look, if you can give up a second round pick, or say you can get a first, you have to give up a first, but instead of giving up an extra pick, you maybe flip one of your corners and then you get something back, like maybe a lower pick, like a third or a fourth round pick. If you can do something like that, I'm not opposed to that. But to give up multiple. The report. So what Daniel Jeremiah threw out there as a hypothetical trade was, pull it up, because off the top of my head, I think it was 2 firsts and a fourth for Patrick Peterson and a second, if I have that right.
19 and 20 first-round picks, and then a fourth-round pick in 2019.
So you have 3 seconds this year. You would not have a first in that light. So essentially, you're kind of...
You're just giving up...
Where the Eagles might be picking, though, you're moving down a little bit this year, and then you're giving up an additional first next year. And I get that, but if I had to choose a position to go for, it might not be corner, because when Sidney Jones is coming back soon, and he to me is going to be that CB1. He has proven it to me so far this year when he's played. That's the part, is the health thing. But eventually Sidney Jones is going to be an outside corner. So with Peterson, you do have to look down the road though as well. Avante Maddox, they're very high on Avante Maddox. He's going to be probably the future slot corner. You do have Rasul Douglas still, who they keep saying is an outside guy, and he's a playmaker, and he's on a rookie deal. Let's think about, too, that these guys aren't going to be making a lot of money for the next 3 years, mm-hmm. in Avante Maddox's case, 4 years. You do have Jalen Mills still, who you eventually could move to safety down the road. Even if you let Darby walk, I don't feel like corner is the big, big need. It is right now. But for the future, it's not. And I'm not willing to give up multiple first-round picks for right now. I think there are other options at the deadline that you can give up lower picks for right now that would equally help your team. If you gave up a third-round pick for LeSean McCoy instead of trading multiple picks for Patrick Peterson, your team will improve that much more this year, just like it would with Patrick Peterson. If Patrick Peterson's on the Eagles, I'm not going to hate on it. You can make it work next year because Patrick, Rasul Douglas, I really like him on the outside. But if we have Patrick Peterson, I'm not going to be like, well, we have Rasul Douglas, so why do we do that? It's not the reason. It has to do with the age that these corners are right now with the Eagles, that a lot of the ones that aren't playing right now. It's the money thing and it's the compensation. If they can get I trust Howie. So if he thinks that he can make it work with the cap, and if he can make it work where you're only giving up an additional pick, or say you can find a way to flip one of the corners like Darby in this deal, then go get Patrick Peterson. I'm fine with that. Because like you said, he this year, I think he's allowing a QBR when targeting Patrick Peterson of 39.7, right?
Which is less than an incomplete pass.
So
think about that.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say, well, we have Rasul Douglas, so we shouldn't add Patrick Peterson. It's just the mock trade scenario I saw from DJ was kind of scary looking.
Yeah, of course. Sending 2 first-round picks out the door, of course, would. But let's look at Howie in the past. He does not let assets go for nothing. You have Ronald Darby, who you have to pay after this year. He's a young corner who probably could fit into a rebuild in Arizona. You take him, you swap, get their second as well, and you send them our first. So it'd be Ronald Darby, our first, and then a later-round pick for their second-round pick in Patrick Peterson. I think that
maybe
would be
even
more
like,
than enough compensation.
I would do Darby in a first for Patrick Peterson and... No, it probably would have to be a second.
Even
a third, I would consider.
Howie's the king of just flopping picks.
Because you do have 2 seconds next year. So if you give up a first, which would be a lower first, hopefully, and you add Patrick Peterson, you essentially take him with your first-round pick, and you add like a third, too, next year, I would probably be on board with that. It's just the multiple first-round picks. Like,
I don't think
that for anything is kind of scary, unless it's like a quarterback.
He's 28 years old. He has 2-3 years left on his deal with pretty big cap numbers. I don't think that's a realistic trade. But knowing Howie, he's not going to let assets walk for nothing.
Right.
I think there is a way to maneuver it. But
it would be. Imagine this defense at full health with Patrick Peterson on the outside.
When have we had a number one cornerback?
Like we talked about
Shepard? Lito Shepard? That might be the last time we had a number one cornerback.
Right, yeah.
Asante Samuel. Okay. I'll give it to him. And even he was like not even the greatest number one
corner.
Is it
more on the corners right now or is it on the scheme? I think it's a combination, but what is it more on?
I don't think they trust their corners.
And
I just think
that's
the
scheme is the way it is.
I think that's what it was.
But why didn't it work last year? Like, this is my thing. Like, why is it not working this year? Last year, they were playing
takeaways.
As off turnovers.
They were able to make up for it by takeaways. But you have to look at last year. Just look at the Super Bowl. They let up 500 yards. 500 yards.
Yeah.
That's outlandish.
But they did play really well. Those corners played really well against Diggs and Thielen in the NFC Championship game. And
yeah.
Mills had the time of his life against Atlanta in that game in the Wild.
But give me Patrick Peterson. If you
no, I know. I'm
out,
not. Yeah.
It's not like he has. This is the end of his deal.
No,
like Le'Veon
yeah.
Bell. If you're going to give up a high round pick for Le'Veon Bell, he has no contract next year. You don't know if he even plays for you this year.
Right. You're not giving up. You're not giving up multiple first round picks for Le'Veon Bell.
Patrick Peterson, you are guaranteed 2 more years at a decent cap number for a top 10 cornerback.
Let me ask you something. If they add Patrick Peterson, how does the secondary look? Like, give me your Jim Schwartz put together the formation.
Okay,
I'm
so
very
is this if we ship out Ronald Darby, or if he's still here and we give up a lot?
Let's say no, they just give up picks.
Okay.
Like let's say that trade with that Daniel Jeremiah drew up happens, so you give up 2 firsts and a fourth for Peterson and a second. So you got Darby still.
Got
draw
Dylan
it up for
Mills.
Me this year, and then let's assume Darby's gone next year. Draw it up for me next year.
Okay, this year, with the absence of a safety, I moved Jalen Mills back to safety. I think that's his. If he wants to succeed in this
again,
league.
Again, like if you add Peterson, that's a solution. Like we talk about wanting to add a safety, and we're talking about corners, and you in a perfect world, you'd be like, well, that kind of helps your safety position too, because now Mills can go back there and play a position he more fits. But I bet you Schwartz is like, no, Mills is an outside corner. Let's say you are Jim Schwartz, so I want to hear your formation.
Okay, this is why I would do that.
Because it's either Mills or Darby. You have to move somebody. Unless you're going to bench Sidney Jones,
let's look at
which is nuts.
No, that's never going to happen. Let's look at a cornerback that wasn't the best cornerback, wasn't the shiftiest guy, and made a move to safety. Malcolm Jenkins. Coming out of college, he was drafted as a cornerback. His one big knock is that he had tight hips and he couldn't adjust
so
as well.
Why is Schwartz
and
so
does Jalen Mills.
So why is Schwartz so stubborn?
I don't understand. I don't get it. It doesn't make any freaking sense.
The corners aren't. Can't play safety.
It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Jalen Mills, he played safety his final year at LSU. He played it all of his years at LSU for periodic
moments.
And to
me, Mills is
time.
More that utility player eventually anyway.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. Okay, getting back to the point. In a world where it would make complete sense, you have Malcolm Jenkins and Jalen Mills as your two safeties.
Okay. I agree.
Patrick Peterson and Ronald Darby on the outside.
This year?
This year.
Yep.
And then when Sidney Jones comes
so
back,
so Maddox
him
now
inside,
and Jones,
Maddox,
right,
yes,
and
correct.
Still doesn't help my free Sewell campaign.
So next
but
year, this is what I would do. Rodney McLeod, I'm expecting because he has a pretty big cap number, but he has a decent out in his contract that he's gone after this year. That's what
really?
I'm expecting.
Schwartz, they really value him though.
I know.
But he is coming off the cap and the MCL.
Money, Carson Wentz, something's going to happen there.
Yeah.
So 2019. Patrick Peterson.
Especially if you add Peterson, you're like, well, now, I mean, McLeod is
send
more
him to
expendable.
The moon for all I care. Patrick Peterson, Sidney Jones, Avante Maddox in the slot, Jalen Mills at safety, or if you draft a rookie high, and Malcolm Jenkins.
I like that.
Yeah.
I do like that a lot.
Let's get back to
maybe you try to move Douglas in a trade then?
That's what I'm expecting, too. I don't expect to. I keep forgetting him. Like,
would they consider keeping Jones in the slot next year and Douglas outside? Like, is Jones guaranteed to be an outside corner next year?
I don't know.
I wonder if they think we can max out this roster, but they do really like Maddox. I think they like Maddox more than Douglas right now. I just think eventually Douglas will see the field. But, I mean, if Patrick Peterson – look, things change. If Patrick Peterson's on the team, you make it work. But he's the main guy right now. Some other guys I could think of, again, like off the top of my head. So the Eagles did talk with Denver. And the names that were brought up that I saw were Bradley Roby. It was
Chris Harris,
Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders. So, look, Howie clearly, I mean, he's going to be aggressive. Like, we're talking about should they buy or sell? They should not be sellers. Howie Roseman clearly, based on all the rumors, some of them have to be true. He's called up apparently about McCoy. He was apparently talking with the Steelers about Le'Veon Bell. He clearly thinks they're buyers, and based on all the rumors, what we can tell is they're looking at receivers, they're looking at running backs, and they're looking at secondary guys.
Mm-hmm.
So the positions that we think that they want, it is the one. The one that has the most weight to it right now seems like secondary, but because there's been a lot of, like, Patrick Peterson was involved in a rumor, Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby,
Carl
Joseph.
The list goes on and on.
Running back too, though, and I still think there are more solutions right now on defense with what you have than with running back. I can't imagine this team making a deep run with Wendell Smallwood as their running back. I can't do it. And there's nothing coming back for you right now. Jay Ajayi is not coming back this year. Even if Darren Sproles comes back, that's not to me. I mean, he's 35 now, right? And he's can't stay healthy for the past 2 years. So what, he's an option as a running back? Yeah, you got to make him. Maybe you do both. Maybe you add Patrick Peterson and you're still buying. But they do need to keep some of their picks next year. You do need to find that balance of buying now and replacing guys like Jason Peters next year and adding a defensive tackle and another pass rusher and maybe a receiver, maybe a running back. They've been ignoring running back in the draft lately. Mm-hmm. Trade for a McCoy or a Le'Veon and extend Le'Veon, they're going to need a running back somehow next year, whether it's signing a Tevin Coleman in free agency or drafting. You do need eventually – you got to go for a running back. So will they do that now at the deadline? Will they do that at the draft? We'll see. But to me, the Eagles are going to be very aggressive next Tuesday. I think
it's going to happen before next Tuesday.
I was going to say, like, does it happen before the Jacksonville game? Because what if they lose Jackson in the Jacksonville game and you're 3-5?
That's why.
But I feel like Howie Roseman's going to do it before that.
I think so, too.
Like, something, like they're expecting
out on
something
Thursday.
To happen soon.
I think if something's going to happen, it happens tomorrow. I would like to see something happen. It just needs to happen, but...
Or they win on Sunday. Say they don't do anything. They win on Sunday, and
there's
then
so
Monday is just so fun.
I know.
Like if like
this could either be a really bad weekend or very.
So
good
you're
weekend.
A hockey guy,
correct?
Right. So the NHL trade deadline. I'm a big NBA fan. Those deadlines, the trade deadlines, are crazy. They're like a holiday. They're like they should be considered a holiday in the United States. I, throughout my entire years growing up as a sports fan, used to skip school to pay attention to the NHL trade deadline and the NBA trade deadline. With Howie Roseman starting this new like aggressive trade era, just Doug Peterson with the aggressive era as well, there's been a lot of GMs that are willing to make moves now in the NFL, and Jay Glazer said it, Joe Banner's talking about it. There should be a lot more activity this week and up until Tuesday than we expect, and it's just really fun because like we are like the head of it. Like the Eagles are the ones that kind of started this, and they're expected to be the ones that are going to finish this year at the trade deadline. So it's going to be a lot of fun. On your wish list, give me the guy that you want right now that if you could say just pick one player, I'm not going to tell you what we give up for him. We have this guy on our roster. Who is it?
Patrick Peterson.
Not even over Le'Veon Bell?
1,000%.
Mine would still be Le'Veon if I had to pick a second McCoy.
But you know what would be great right now? Kareem Hunt. James Conner.
Yeah.
Marlon Mack.
Christian McCaffrey.
Chris Carson. This is how he's doing. They missed in that draft big time.
They did. Well, it's not like they
big
didn't try,
time.
Though. I don't like that people just... I don't like when people say
no,
that they didn't
not.
Try for running backs because they did. They were hoping McCaffrey fell. Doug Peterson even admitted it this week. They were trying to trade up for Dalvin Cook. Did they kind of after that get complacent and ignore the Kareem Hunts and the Alvin Kamaras?
Yep.
Yeah, they did. But they traded for Ajayi last year. Clement was a big find. So, but they got it. They have to do it now, though. Now is the time where you really can't ignore it because you don't have those options right now, and you don't have anyone coming back.
I agree.
So that's what's really.
But I don't want to give up a big. See, Patrick Peterson, like I said, you have 2 years left on his contract.
No, I get that, but
2-3 years.
But I feel like with a running back, you're not going to have to give up the compensation you'd have to give up for Patrick Peterson.
If I could have gave a fifth for Carlos Hyde, I would have did that anyway, day of the week. Even though he's not the type of back we need, like we have. Corey Clement, who's a thumping style back. Like, it's unfortunate, but I think the price on McCoy is going to come down. I just got a hunch on that. Yeah. Like,
and the
Brandon Bean knows better than that.
The option, by the way, is not Jamaal Charles. The Jaguars released him. Please, I know Doug Peterson coached him in Kansas City. Please, please, please don't add Jamaal Charles.
Yeah, that's not.
He was averaging 1 yard a carry. I mean, he only had a couple carries in the past 2 weeks, but he's not someone, he's a shell of himself. And this isn't like an Adrian Peterson thing. I don't expect a comeback for Jamaal Charles. It might be a quick option if they don't want, like, say they do trade for Patrick Peterson, they might have no choice but to go after a guy like Jamaal Charles, but that's not someone ideally that I would like to go for.
Say Devontae Booker's there. I wouldn't mind Devontae
Booker.
He's the third man there
right now. So maybe even Chris Ivory. We're talking about a Bills running back. Chris Ivory's been really efficient this year. Maybe you just kick the tires and see if they would really be willing to give up Chris Ivory for a 6 or 7 round draft pick.
I was doing right now. I was
he's working the phones, man. I wish I could be a fly on the wall right now in that room. Let's take one more break here on the Lockdown Eagles podcast. We'll wrap it up, talk some Carson Wentz clutchness to wrap up the show. This is the Lockdown Eagles podcast.
Yeah, speaking of the trade deadline, players are going to be swapping. We have a great sponsor at swap.com. Isn't it crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes? Why do we buy our kids new clothes, especially if they outgrow them in a couple months? I'm dreading the day I have kids just for that sole reason.
You're going to buy them the mini Carson Wentz jersey. It's not going to fit them in like 2 years.
The swaddles, yep. Wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? There is, swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Stop driving to the store and sorting through racks. Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com with easy-to-use filters to find exactly what you need. Over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted every single year. I find that statistic bananas. Shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment, which is something we could all feel good about. Save the fish, save the turtles. Swap.com is the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. With swap.com, you can now save 90% off retail of your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J.Crew, and Gap. Quality hand-inspected items are added every single day. If something doesn't fit, enjoy hassle-free returns within 30 days. Special offer to our listeners, you get 35% off items on your first order by using the promo code LOCKEDON. That's LOCKEDON. And you can find new deals every day on swap.com's homepage. So in the spirit of the trade deadline, check out swap.com, one of our many great sponsors.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Lockdown Eagles podcast, our final segment on this Tuesday, October 23rd edition of the show. Louis DiBiase and Gino Camilleri. Tune in tomorrow for our Locked On crossover Wednesday edition of the show with Locked On Jaguars as we get ready for the London game on Sunday at 9:30. Gino, so don't forget that the game's happening at 9:30.
I'll be up.
I forgot on Sunday that the Titans and the Chargers were playing. I'm not going to forget this time, but just remember to set your alarm because. They're going to be playing at 9:30 in what is a must-win game.
Yeah, it is.
And there's not a lot of must-win games, but this is the one. So let's wrap up the show with this, Gino. I want to put this to rest, and I think you do too. It's the talk of the town right now. They want to start a fight with fans. And they is basically fans, media members. They're trying to poke the bear with all the chaos that's around Eagles Nation right now. The whole Carson Wentz isn't clutch narrative. This is my take real quick, and I'll get yours. I'm going to make it simple. It's an overreaction. It's a forced narrative right now for clicks. Carson Wentz, the majority of games I see brought up for examples of why he isn't clutch, they were basically all in his rookie season.
1-7.
Basically all in his rookie season. And we had Steve Brown tweet in, a fan of ours from Lockdown, of the listener of the Lockdown Eagles podcast, and I was talking about this on Twitter. He said, a rookie year where drives were killed by an O-line who couldn't block and receivers who would drop wide open passes, especially in the fourth quarter. Remember, they didn't have Lane Johnson at the time for the majority of those games. They had Doriel Green-Beckham and Josh Huff. Ew. They had broken Yikes. Nelson Aguilar and Jordan Matthews. Last year, people like to say, well, you know, like he didn't do it last year or this year. You can't just discredit last year because he was blowing teams out of the water. That counts. He didn't have to come back
because he was dominating everybody.
And when he had the opportunity to be clutch, the Giants game, he set up that field goal. The Chargers game, he killed 6 minutes in that fourth quarter. The run game was a huge part of it, but Wentz made some big throws. The Rams game, clutch shouldn't be dependent upon game-winning drives. Defining someone as clutch is stepping up in big moments. It doesn't matter if those big moments are in the third or fourth quarter. In the third quarter on a torn ACL, he puts them in the lead against an amazing Rams team that was, they win that game, they're a team that has a bye week and not the Eagles. So Wentz did it last year. This year against the Colts, drives down, gives them the win in that game against Tennessee. Yeah, they didn't score a touchdown ideally, but your offense drives down in overtime and gives you a three-point lead, and you're the defense, you didn't close on a fourth and long. So Wentz left the field with the lead. It wasn't ideal, but he did drive down and get some points on the board and get them a lead in overtime, which in the old days would have been a win. So don't come to me and say that he's not clutch. Does he need to be more consistent with it? Yeah. Did he blow that game against Carolina?
Absolutely.
And then the final drive? No. Did he? Some of the throws where I wouldn't have made that decision. I think on that again on that third and two, with the way they ran it on second down, it seemed like they were trying to set up a first down to give him four opportunities. I think he got a little headstrong and got a little hero ball esque. But I'm not going to blame him for that. I won't blame his aggression. I would have preferred getting that first down for him to take more shots. The throw to Eric Reed nearly picked was bad. The choice to go to Ertz double covered in the end zone was kind of reckless. But don't come to me and say that he's not clutch and throw me these numbers again, these examples that when you look in context, you look at what the year was and the situation and how you discredit everything that happened last year. I just think it's reckless, and I don't want to go too big into the topic because I don't think it's worth talking about a whole lot. But I think Carson Wentz has stepped up in big moments, and I think he'll continue to – I'll be concerned about that if it keeps happening this year and it happens in the playoffs. But right now, with the examples I've been given on both sides and that I've come up with, Carson Wentz does have clutch gene. He needs to be more consistent, and I think he'll grow with that. But he has clutchness in him.
So they're saying – I'm not saying that he's 5-10 in games when he had a chance to win. His first season – which, like we said, he had a terrible receiving core, subpar running backs, a not great offensive line. He was 1-7. Okay, let's get rid of that. So now you're 4.
He was also a rookie.
3. So yes, and they got
like he's never stepped in.
They
those
took chances
moments
in games. That Baltimore game, they took a chance.
The
to
Lions
get the 2-point
game,
again.
He took that shot down the field to Aguilar.
This is the thing I'm gonna say. We came from a quarterback who checked down every single play.
Do you want
your quarterback to take shots at the end zone in late games, regardless of if it wins or work, if it works or it does not?
Yeah,
I do, because I don't want to see a guy like Sam Bradford check it down and maybe get to your own 40-yard line with 2 minutes left to go.
I agree with that. I did want him, though, on that third and two, at least considering a short. It did look like he was staring down Ertz the entire time.
Yes.
And he could have be aggressive, but just take one more play and take four aggressive shots. Like, know
the
situation.
That's always been his
issue. Know the situation. Don't get Russell Westbrook-esque tunnel vision. That's what I was – like, I will never blame a guy for being aggressive. I just thought the situation, that only that play in a vacuum, I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, we're not going to even look into this game.
Yeah.
People, Carson Wentz, I said it earlier in the show, he threw for 81% completion.
He's completing 70% of the season. One pick, 10 touchdowns.
He has gotten better every single year.
Every game.
If they win
like
this game, this is being discussed as Carson's best game ever as a Philadelphia
and
Eagle.
And it is. Carson Wentz is back in the MVP race. Again, I wrote on LockedOnEagles.com. Check it out. The takes if the Eagles won, and the one take I wrote down, if what we'd be talking about today, if they won, was Carson Wentz is elite, and he could be winning MVP this year if the Eagles get it going. Now instead we're labeling him as he's not clutch.
I think
it's crazy how a couple plays can
change. It's bananas.
A 4th-and-10 blown by the Eagles' defense changes the narrative on Wentz. That's why you have to put it in perspective. It really, you know, like, again, I'm not going to be crazy and say that he didn't with that play on third and two. I think he made some bad plays on that drive, but the drive shouldn't have happened anyway.
They should have never been in that situation.
So, and I'm not going to ignore all the other things I've seen from Wentz in big games. So I think that's a good way to put it, is just that it needs to be more consistent. But the take today I've seen, especially in Eagles Twitter, has been like, it's been times a thousand with how aggressive it's been.
It's crazy.
And it's the topic of every radio station show today in Philly, and it'll get the callers going, but I don't know. I don't like the take at all.
I think it's bad, because how long have we been searching for a franchise quarterback? We had Donovan McNabb, who went to three straight NFC Championship games and lost. Went to the Super Bowl and lost. You want to talk about not being clutch? That's not being clutch. Carson Wentz has been in how many big games? One. The game against the Rams. That's in my opinion, that's the only big game he's been in. And to be honest, when it matters. We're seven games into a season with five division games left. There is plenty of season to go. This is when we figure out if Carson Wentz is clutch, coming up Sunday.
Because even the clutch games like last year that we're talking about, that he did convert, like the Chargers game and the Giants game, and then this year with the Colts game, like both sides, like, I'm not gonna say he's clutch either yet. I've seen it happen, but on a big level, we've seen it one time. And you're right, because the rookie year, they weren't really in the playoffs, the serious playoff race for a lot of those games.
Exactly. Now, just a hypothetical, I don't like looking back and saying what ifs.
All right.
But what if Carson Wentz plays against Atlanta? Do you think that game's close?
No.
What if Carson Wentz plays against Minnesota? Do you think that game's as close as it even was, which was 30-something points?
They blow them out of the water.
They blow them out of the water.
Just like Nick Foles did.
In the Super Bowl, do you think they win that game by only, 8 points? The way New England's defense is playing?
It still would have been close. You couldn't have played better than Nick Foles.
No, you couldn't have. But I think he comes up the way he was playing last year. I think he walks away with the Lombardi.
We do need to see it.
That's why I'm really hoping
that they do get to the playoffs this year, at least the 4 seed, because I want to see Wentz in that situation. I want to see him get that experience. I don't want him to be like Tony Romo, where he doesn't have that experience enough. It happens once or twice, and it's labeled as Tony Romo couldn't win in the playoffs. Or Matt Stafford, even. Matt Stafford, wild card twice. I want to see Wentz get in so we can really have this conversation, because right now is the wrong time to be having this conversation.
It's especially after the defense did what they did. But, folks, this is where we're going to make our money. Sunday's a huge game. We're going to see what they add right now. But just remember, the Washington Redskins are leading this division by a game and a half, and you still have five division games left. I'm not scared about anybody in the NFC East. The Eagles have the best roster. They're going to turn it around. I'm 100% confident. Stay on that ledge. You know what? Actually, get off of that ledge. Go sit on the couch and enjoy Sunday's game, because they're going to kick the absolute mess out of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I hope so. That's a good way to end it, Gino. That's going to do it for myself and Gino Camilleri on the Locked On Eagles podcast, Tuesday, October 23rd edition of the show. Please follow us on Twitter at Locked On Birds, at Gino_LOE, and follow me on Twitter at DiBiase_LOE. We'll be back tomorrow for Crossover Wednesday with Locked On Jaguars. Keep it locked. LockedOnEagles.com. We'll have a lot of written content this week. We're going to continue to monitor the NFL trade deadline. If something goes wrong or goes right, me and Gino will get an emergency pod going on that as well. So make sure you subscribe to the pod. Leave a 5-star review, comments, anything that you guys can do with the show. If you want to interact, we love it. So that's going to do it for myself and Gino. We will be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening, and let's go Birds.
Fly, Eagles, fly.